Okay, the pasuk says v'chi yake ish, the person hits. Es ein avroy es ein amos. The person hits the eye of his servant, or ein amosoy. Will the eye? Okay, I'm gonna just put everyone on mute. If a person hits the eye of a slave, oy ein amosoy v'shichas, and he destroys it. Lachashi shalchem tachas, he knows what he says. The halach is. Lachashi, he shall send his slave free. Tachas, ain't on a notice. It does, okay, fine. Let's just see what he says over the Rashi right away. One more, put over here. Okay, commentary. Let's go first to the Targum. Targum, uncle is in this pasuk, says as follows. Va'are, yimche. Yimche means to hit. Givar, a person. Yos eno de avde, or yos eno de amse. Vichablina is the word he's using to translate. This is the word he's using to translate. He destroys. V'shichasa, he causes the destructions. What is the halacha? Yiftirine cholof enei. The slave goes free. It's patur. He's patur the chilef in exchange for his eye. Rashi. One moment. Here we go. Okay, es ein avdoi, kenani. First thing is first. We are discussing over here an evid kenani. We are not discussing an evid ivri. An evid ivri, there's no such thing. An evid ivri does not go free. If you hit an evid ivri and he causes an eye to be knocked out or tooth, he remains the slave. Nothing to, you have to, you owe money. You have to pay the damages. But this halach over here that a slave goes free with the loss of an eye or a tooth refers specifically to an evid kenani. Kenani, aval ivri iniyotim shin v'ayin kimo shamanu lo seitze kitzei suavodim. Ketachas enoi. It says over here, because of his eye. So Rashi, this is very, very important. It's lav dafka, the eye. The same thing applies to all of the person's limbs. Now there are 24, this is a very important Rashi, there are 24 roshei evarim. A person has 24 roshei, heads of limbs. What are they? The etzboi, so yadayim ragam, that's already 20. Okay, the fingers of the hand and the feet, ushtei oznayim, the two ears, that's 22. Ve'achoytem is the nose. Okay, wait, what's going on over here? It's the oldest you die, but I'm really 20. How do you get 20? Let's just read the whole thing over here. Ushtei oznayim, okay, the two ears, ve'achoytem, the nose. Ve'rosh ha'givya, that's the bris milah. Shugir ho'amo, ve'loma nemar shein ve'ayin. Why then did it specify shein v'ayin? So this is a very famous Rashi. Nemar ayin v'lodem ha'shein ha'yisemer ma'ayin shenivra imo yav kol shenivra imo. I would think only something which a person was born with. A person was born with an eye, but he was not born with a tooth. And v'harei shein l'nivra imo. V'yinemar shein v'lodemar ayin ha'yisemer afilu shein tinak sheyesh lo chalifin. What about a baby tooth? A baby tooth that comes out, the baby tooth can be replaced. It will be replaced. So maybe that... even that will be enough. The only time the person will go free is if you knock out a permanent tooth. So the person has in his possession a baby, a person, a slave that is a minor, and he hits the child, and it caused the child's baby tooth to come out. He does not go free. He does not, because it has to be an ayin, a tooth that is similar to an eye. Just like an eye, there's no replacement. So too, the tooth has to be such a tooth for which there is no replacement. Okay, now, over here it says there are 24 Rosh Eivarim. How do you get over here the list of 24 Rosh Eivarim? The 10 fingers, 10 hands, okay, 10 fingers, 10 fingers, 10 toes, 2 ears, the hachoitem, the nose, and the Rosh HaGeviyah, and the bris milah. That's 24. Plus, 2 more. Plus, the shein and the ayin. Okay, so it's a grand total of 26. 26, not 24. There are 24 Rosh Eivarim, 24 parts of the body which stand out. 10 fingers, 10 toes, the nose, the two ears, and the bris milah. Isn't that interesting? That's what we call the Rosh Eivarim. Those 24 tips of a person's body. Is there any other part of the body you would think that should be called a Rosh Eivarim? I guess not. 10 fingers, 10 toes, 2 ears, a nose, and the Rosh HaGeviyah, plus the shein, the tooth, and the two eyes. It's really 27. It's really 27, because there are, well, I shouldn't say it's 27. There are 32 teeth. Okay, there are 32 teeth and there are two eyes. So what's the total number? I need a mathematician over here. 32 plus it's 34 plus 50, mole mix of 56. Is that correct? 56 things that a person can go free with. 56.
Where are you getting 56 from?
How many teeth does a person have? How many teeth? A person has 32
it's
teeth.
10 toes.
That's the Roshei Evarim. Again, there are 10 toes and 10 fingers. That's 20. 20.
Right.
Plus, there are the two ears.
There's 22.
The nose, 23. The Rosh HaGevia, the Bris Mila. Correct?
That's 24.
24. That's called the Chof Dalad Roshei Evarim. But there's something else that the slave goes free with. What the Pasuk discusses, Shein V'ayin. That if the math...
26.
So wait, really 27. How many eyes does the person have? Two eyes.
It's 26, 27. Okay.
27. And how many teeth? So not, it's not one. So really, let's go to 26. 26 plus 32. 26 plus 32 is 58. So really they're
unless Rashi counts that possible.
The same way we're counting 10 fingers and 10 toes and 2 ears, 1 nose, so we have to be generous. We have to count both eyes and we have to count all teeth. All teeth are a grand total of 32 teeth. A grand total of 58. 58 parts of the body that if they are released, they are removed from the body because the master hit this person, the slave goes free. 58 ways to go free. Is that correct? Am I eating up the numbers wrong? 24 plus 24 plus 34. No, it's 56. What did I say? I'm getting all mixed up over here. There are 32 teeth and there are two eyes. So that's 34. 34 plus 24. 34. I'm getting all mixed up over here. 58, right? 58.
How do you know that the tooth is called an aver? Maybe the tooth is not in the category.
No, it's not. You're right. It's not an aver. It is not an aver. It's not, but the pasuk says, if you hit your slave and you knock out a tooth, the slave goes free. That's the pasuk. The pasuk is ein the next pasuk, v'yimshein avdoi o'yishein amosoi yapil lachav shiyishalchenu tachashinoi. So it says here in the pasuk that if you hit a slave, and you knock out his eye, or you knock out his tooth, he goes free. Rashi says, don't, it's lav dafka, the eye and the tooth. There are another 24 things that if you knock out, he goes free. V'chein b'chof dalad rosh eivarim. It's not the only thing that you knock out, he goes free. He goes through another 24. So we have a grand total of 24 plus 34 for a grand total of 58. There are 58 parts of the body that if they are knocked out, the slave goes free. Correct? Mr. Rapp, are you with me?
Just that I don't... It seems that they only duplicate on the Evarim in terms of the count. They're not duplicating
because,
in terms of the
or the
Ayin.
Fine. It doesn't make a difference. It doesn't make a difference. I'm just adding numbers. It doesn't make a difference. It says over here in the Pasuk, an eye or a tooth. Rashi says, V'chein b'chof dalet roshei evarim. The tooth, the teeth, and the eyes are not called roshei evarim. They're two different categories. There's the two eyes, and there is the 32 teeth, plus there are an additional 24 things called, in their own category, the roshei evarim. So, 24 plus 34 is...
No, that's what I'm saying. The way Rashi seems to make in the cheshbon, you don't double up on the teeth, or you don't double up on the eyes.
He's not even mentioning even once. He's not counting it all together.
30-some-odd teeth. I know we have 30 teeth, but
32.
Rashi is making the cheshbon. I don't know where Rashi got his.
Rashi does not even count the teeth and the eyes. Rashi counts 24 roshei evarim in addition to the teeth and the eyes. Rashi counts 24. 10 fingers, 10 toes, 2 ears, the nose, and the Rosh HaGevia. For a grand total of 24. That's besides what it says in the pasuk, the eye and the tooth. Okay, so we're not, Rashi, when he says the number 24, he's not counting the eye and the tooth. Now, if Rashi is so generous in counting all the fingers individually, and counting the ears individually, and counting the nose and the Rosh HaGviah, well, yeah, then we have a right to assume that when we, I'm just making up a number just for the purpose of, I don't know what the purpose of the number is. There's no purpose. And just Derech Agav, you know, sometimes a little trivia question opens up the sugya. There are 58 different items in a person's body, which if they are released, and each one is independent of the other, then the slave goes free. There are 20 digits. Each one is independent. There's a nose. There are two eyes. There are 32 teeth. And there's the Rosh HaGviah. And any one of these things is damaged, the slave goes free. Nothing more than that. 50, a grand total of 58. Okay, nothing more than that. Now, once with mentioning this, I want to mention over here, this is not really going off time, but Uncle is in Rashi, but how many teeth does the person really have? So the doctors today will tell you 32. We once discussed this, and if you tell them, no, there are 33, they'll tell you out of your mind. And the truth is a very, very big topic of discussion, if a Jew really has 32 teeth or 33 teeth. Some say a Jew, this is the difference between a Jew and a Goy. A real Jew has 33 teeth. And there are supposedly stories of dentists who are anti-Semites, if they would count the teeth of a patient and they counted 32 teeth, they refused to service them out of hatred for their Jew, anti-Semitism. There are supposedly these legends like this. Some say just the opposite, that a Goy has 33 teeth and a Jew has 32. It doesn't matter. Today, everyone has 32 teeth. What would be interesting if a person... this is an Eved Kenani. An Eved Kenani, he's a Goy. So either he would have one less or one more. All right, this is enough of this. Let's go further. So this is the Gemara's Drasha, okay, Pasha to Rashi. And Rashi over here is telling us very important. Yisod Slav Dafka, the eyes and the teeth. It's even the Rosh Ivarim. And we make a Drasha. We compare the eyes to the teeth to the eyes, to teach you that even something that was not born with you, teeth were not born with the person. The person does not have teeth when he comes into this world. They grow in later. Even that is enough to cause the person to go free. Likewise, we also learn from the eye. The eye is something that is permanent. A loss of an eye is not coming back. So too with the teeth.
What is Rashi? Is this from the Gemara?
Yes.
Rashi's bringing out a 24.
Mechilta. Bear in the Gemara. He's getting it where the Gemara got it from. He's going all the way back to the Mechilta. The Mechilta is the Medrash Halacha on Chumash Shemais. This is where the Gemara got it from. This is the basic building block of Torah Shebal Peh. The basic building block of Torah Shebal Peh is to compare an eye to a tooth. The teacher, just like an eye is a permanent loss, so to only a tooth that's a permanent loss. But a tooth that's not a permanent loss will not go free. Likewise, and what's the chiddush of a tooth? Even though the tooth is not born with the person. This is why the Torah specifies eyes and teeth and omits mention of the other 24 items, because those are poshut. That we can learn, we can derive. Okay, there's obviously a lot more, but let's just try to stick to the script just a little bit. Okay, so Unkelis, now we go back to this one more time. The are yimche gevar if he hits. Yos ene de avdo, yos ene de amso, vichab lina, labar, and he damages them, he destroys it. He destroys it, chavola. Labar chayrin yiftere, so this fellow is now going to become potur. He's going to become free. It's a very interesting way of saying that he's exempt. He becomes now lachovshi, yeshalchenu. The word yeshalchenu means he's potur. Okay, there's a very interesting translation of the word you send them away. When it says send away, it does not mean you just, you know, you send. It means there is a legal release, a legal sending off. It's not a physical sending off. It's not a mission. It's potur. He's potur. When a person leaves this world, we say that he was niftar. What does that mean? He was niftar. It means he's exempt. What do you mean he's exempt? He's no longer obligated to observe mitzvahs. A person comes into this world, he has obligations. You have to do this, you have to do that, you have to do this, obligations. When a person leaves this world, he's potter. I'm exempt. I have no obligations. Done. Obligations have been, the person has been released from his duties. So here as well, yiftirine, a slave has obligations to his master. He has to serve. Now that he lost his tooth, lost his eye, lost one of his 24 evarim, he is potur. That's not what it says in the pasuk. The pasuk says yishalchenu, send him away. It's a very, very important targum. If not for this targum, a person can make some convoluted translation and say, listen, the guy knocked out his teeth, knocked out his eye. You know what? Send him for rehabilitation. Send him to a hotel because of what you... But then after he recovers, you take him back. You take him back and you enslave him. No. It says over here, Lebar choyrin yishalchenu. Don't just temporarily send him to a hotel like a free man to enjoy. And then once the period of time, Yom Tov is over, you take him back. No, there is a permanent legal sending off. He is exempt from his obligations. Lebar choyrin yiftirine cholof ene in exchange for his... Now, that's also a funny word. Cholof. Tachas eino. Cholof. What does it mean, cholof? What does that word really mean? Tachas eino. So normally we translate this because of what you did to him as a punishment to the master, you lose. Here he says with cholof. What does it mean, cholof? Let me look over here what it says over here in the Ma'at Sari. It says here, I actually started from the wrong place, but it doesn't matter. I started from the wrong place. I meant to start earlier, but we're not going to continue. We're up. It doesn't matter. No, not earlier. I'm all mixed up here. Chof, this chavav. Where we are? I'm all mixed up now. Okay, 1 second.
We're in chavav.
Exodus, chav aleph.
Chapter 21,
verse 26. I have 2 pages by mistake. Okay. I really meant to start earlier, but it doesn't matter. We're going to continue now. It doesn't matter. It's fine. So over here is Cholof Ene. Let me see what it says over here in Ma'at Sari. In Pasuk Chavav. Does it say anything over here? No, doesn't comment. No comment. All right. Let's move ahead. V'im Shein Avdoi. Now we go to the tooth. Pasuk 27. V'im Shein Avdoi Yishar Mosu Yakul Lachoshi Yishar Lachoshi. No. Let's say he knocks out the tooth of his servant or his maidservant. He knocks out. Same thing. Lachavshi, Yishalchenu, he shall send him free, Tachas, Shino. Now notice, when it comes to the tooth, it's called Yapil. When it comes to the eye, it's called Vishichaso. An entirely different word. The eye is a Churban, is a Hashchaso. The tooth is called Yapil. He caused it to fall out. What does it say over here in the Targum? Targum in this passage says Imshin the Ade Oshinu the Amse Yapel. Okay, it doesn't really say very much. Lebar Choyrin Yifterine Cholav Shine. Pretty much the same thing. What does Rashi say? No Rashi. Unbelievable. Okay, that's the whole parasha. That's all we got over here. Now we go to a new sugya, a whole new sugya. V'chiyigach Shor Es Ish Es Ish a man, an axe gores Es Ish a man Oy Es Isha a woman Vomes, and the person dies. So what do you do? First thing is first. Sokol yisokel hashar. First thing is the axe has to be stoned to death. Velo yocheles b'saroi. You're not allowed to eat its flesh. The basar may not be because of course not. Why? Of course not. There's no shchita. What's the hava amina? I think we've seen Rashi. The Gemara means that let's say you don't follow the halacha. Let's say you don't kill the axe by stone, but rather you take out a shchita. You violate the law, and you take a knife and you do shchita. The halach is, you're not allowed to eat the axe. Because the axe is osur behana. Because it is a convicted murder. Uval hashor noki. And these words are subject to many daf gemara in Masechta Bava Kamma. Let's first see the Targum. Targum over here says, on this pasuk, are yagach, toyodof, an axe, gors, yos, gavr, a man. O yos, itis, or a woman. Vimus, and they die. So what do you do? Is rigamo yis regain. That means to stone, to throw stones upon the Torah, the axe. Velo yisochel yos bisrei. Do not eat its flesh. Umare de Torah, now this, the owner of the ox, Yehe Zaka'o, shall be innocent. Interesting how politically correct the Targum is. The Targum usually likes to get involved in controversy. And here, for some reason, the Targum is clean hands. Business doesn't say here one word of controversy, at least not to my understanding. He translates these words with such cleanliness, it's just unbelievable. Because these words are really very, very complicated words. Let's see Rashi. V'higach shor. Echad shor v'yechad kol behema v'chayva. Oif elo shadiva kosta behoive. First thing is first. Even though it says an ox, lav dafka an ox. Any animal. Any creature. It can be any behema, chay, birds, wild animals. It doesn't make a difference. Why then did I mention over here an ox? That's what's common. Next. V'lo ye ochel es besoroi. Its basar may not be eaten. Mimashma shenemer. What's the obvious question? Once it says that the animal has to be stoned to death, obviously you're not going to be permitted to eat its flesh. Mimashma shenemer. V'lo yisokel yisokel hashar. Yine yideh shubu b'nevelo. Nevelo shubu b'hadchila. Ela mat hamolem aydlo v'lo yechel es besoroi. Shafilu shechotoi. Even if you do not follow the law and you slaughter it, you're not allowed to eat it. What about deriving pleasure? Are you allowed to derive pleasure from, let's say, you'll sell the meat to a non-Jew, or you'll use the meat, or you'll use the hides for a rug, an area rug, whatever, you'll use the hard leather, some type of make a leather bag. Now here's, that's the next part. What does that mean? A person says to his friend, "Yatsa ploni naki min chasav ve'ein bohem hanos shel klum." A person lost everything, has absolutely no benefit from all of his assets. So therefore, bal hashar naki means the owner of the axe is not allowed to derive pleasure from the carcass. The axe must be put to death. If a person violates the law and does not put the axe to death by stoning, but instead slaughters it with a kosher shlita, it may not be eaten, not the flesh. And under all circumstances, whether the animal is actually stoned or the animal is slaughtered, the hide or the benefit of the dead body, whatever you can get from it in the market, is off limits. It has to be buried, destroyed. It may not be used, and that's what it means to Baal Hashor, the owner of the axe, Naki. He may not derive any benefit whatsoever from this axe. Now, next, that's Zehu Midrashoi. Pshuto Kimashmoi, Lefi Shnema Bemuad Vagam Baal of Yumas, Chutrach Loimar Batam Baal Hashor Naki. Everything we said until now was what we call over here the Medush. Then Rashi says the Pshat. Now, this is very, very interesting. If you were writing this Rashi, I would assume that you would put first the pshat, and then you would cite the medrash. Rashi here is doing something very unusual. He's first giving us the medrash, and then he's giving us the pshat. That is amazing. Then that opens up a whole topic of discussion to analyze Rashi throughout the entire Chamisha Chumshei Torah to understand when does Rashi first give you the pshat and then the medrash, and when does he first give you medrash and then pshat. It would seem that according to Rashi, and this is Rashi's style. Rashi's style is, you translate the words based upon the perush that fits best. And at times, the perush that fits best is not necessarily what we call the pshat. Okay, Rashi was we don't appreciate it what Rashi did. Rashi was a Renaissance man. In the world of the Pashtunim, because okay, I'm just telling you something that I once read. I don't know all the details, but it seems that until Rashi's time, many of the Pashtunim, the people who wrote commentaries on Chumash, were thoroughly consistent. So there are many pesukim in the Torah that if you want to translate them literally, you run into a lot of trouble. They just don't translate them. They seem to indicate that it's more of a mushel. It's more of a metaphor, an example. Don't take it so literally. So Then there are the problems. If you want to go down that path, you want to take everything as a metaphor. What happens when you come to psukim or discussions in the Torah, which translate very well literally, and when you make it into a metaphor, it loses some steam, some of its flavor. So it seems that until Rashi, many of the commentators were thoroughly consistent, and that created major, major problems. Because the Mefarshim that were always looking for pshat, literal pshat, would run into major obstacles. And those Parshanim who like to translate psukim as homilies, metaphors, and you know everything represents concepts, lifnei iver lo sitein mirshol, doesn't necessarily mean a stone. It means a person who's naive and doesn't know much. Don't go and give him bad advice. When you want to go take everything in the Torah as a metaphor and you want to be consistent in that interpretation, you're going to run into a lot of trouble. What was unique about Rashi? Rashi said, sometimes the best translation of the pasuk is the pshat. And sometimes the best translation of the pasuk is the medrash, is the drash, is the metaphor. And Rashi broke all the rules where he was inconsistent in how he translated the psukim of the Torah. Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. And sometimes the ikor, the primary understanding of how we're going to read psukim or sections of Chumash is going to be the simple translations. And sometimes the simple way we're going to translate the psukim is going to be according to the Medrash. This was an innovation that many people could not deal with. See, we take everything for granted because Rashi hasn't been with us already for almost 1,000 years. So to us, what's the big deal? Rashi is Rashi. Rashi is Rashi. Rashi is thoroughly inconsistent in what he does to Psukim. So we take it for granted for 1,000 years. But before Rashi, people didn't like this. They didn't like doing this. And Rashi every so often explains that what my commentary is unique in that I will take the pasuk and I will translate the pasuk according to the method that in this particular pasuk it just fits. The words fit, the concepts fit, it's comfortable. I want to make the psukim comfortable, and that requires sometimes we're going to go with one approach, and sometimes we're going to go with a different approach. And don't live in a world where everything is etched in stone and you only can go do things one way. Don't be so stubborn. You have to appreciate the broadness of the Torah, where the Torah wants that it should be sometimes like this and sometimes like that. That only adds to the beauty of the Torah. So I feel that over here in this Rashi, Rashi is doing just that. Rashi over here.
So does that mean that if you always look, what is the first commentary that Rashi brings?
I think so.
And the second one is like a default position. All right, you want me to tell you?
Well, sometimes Rashi doesn't even tell you.
So I'll tell you that too.
Right. Sometimes Rashi doesn't even tell you the other approach. Rashi sometimes will just tell you the strict translation and doesn't even mention the Medrash. And you look in the Midrashim, oh, you can read the Pasuk so many beautiful ways. He doesn't even bother to mention the Medrash. And sometimes Rashi only mentions the Medrash and completely ignores a more literal approach to the Pasuk. But very often, I think it's more common, Rashi will first give you a very literal pshat. And then Rashi will tell you, by the way, there's a Medrash. And the Medrash homiletically understands the Pasuk with this approach. This is unique. Because here Rashi is giving you both, which he doesn't often do. And when he gives you both, he gives you first the Medrash. And then, by the way, I'll tell you another pshat. There's another approach, and that's the pshat. This is not common. Obviously, I'm suggesting that in this particular instance, Rashi felt both of them are worthy. The literal translation of the Pasuk, and the Medrash translation of the Pasuk. And the order of Rashi is certainly precise. This is an accident. That he feels that the more comfortable translation of the pasuk that we should know is the Medrash. Ubal Hashar Naki, V'lo Yachal Es Besaroi, that the basar is off limits in the event that the perpetrator, the owner of the animal, violated the law and he slaughtered it, did a shechita, it doesn't matter, it's asa bahan, asa to eat. Ubal ashar naki, and furthermore, it is forbidden to derive any benefit from the dead animal under all circumstances, nothing more to discuss. If you want to say the literal pshat, I'll tell you the pshat, naki, this is in contrast to the next pasuk. And the next pasuk is going to say that in the event that the shor is a muad, it already did this three times, and you know that the shor is a killer, what's the shor doing here? The shor should have been killed. How do you let the shor get to a point over here where it kills someone three times? Then the owner of the axe, you must, is put to death. Now, we know that doesn't mean literally, but he's guilty. We take the owner of the axe, and he has to bear the consequences of what has happened in this case. In contrast to the next pasuk, where it's going to say, Ubal ashar yumas, in this pasuk, we say the owner of the axe is innocent. He's not going to be put to death. Because it's the first time, it's the first offense. How is he supposed to know that the axe would kill someone? It's not his fault. It's not his fault. He is naki. He does not need to do teshuvah. He does not need to pay 30 any in money. He doesn't have to do anything. He gets off the hook. That's the pshat. And Rashi puts that as the second interpretation. Okay, now go back to the Targum. I always like going back to Targum after the record, because you see what you get a more appreciation of what Rashi is coming to the Targum. Targum, and they die. Is regoma yisregem Torah v'lo yis ochel es bisra. Okay, you have to stone it, and you may not eat the boss. It's not really explaining anything. Umare de Torah yehe zaka'ar. So what does it say? Baal hashar naki. I don't know. He doesn't really seem to want to get in. He doesn't seem, it's hard to pinpoint the rash, the Targum. The Targum is saying anything that we can grab into. Targum seems like he's trying so hard to avoid anyone attacking him and claiming that the Targum is coming to provide a commentary that will be controversial. But staying away from that. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Next pasuk. The Im Shor Nagahu Mitmol Shulshayim. What happens if the Shor is a Muad? This is not the first time the axe killed somebody. The axe did this already two other times. This is already the third time. Three times. Now you ask the question, how in the world did the axe get to this point? Didn't we just learn that if the axe does it even once, you put the axe to death? The answer is, the axe ran away. The axe ran away, and no one can find it. It knows how to hide. And then guess what? It shows up. It shows up and does it again. And it shows up and does it again. So here, it's a different story. Let's see. The Im Shor Nagahu Mitmol Shulshan. The Shor has been established to be a gorer. It has done this activity many, many times. Mitmol Shulshan. That's a good expression. The word Mitmol Shulshan. That is a very, very complicated, sophisticated usage of the words. Mitmol means yesterday. Shulshan means, what does it mean, 3 days ago? There's today, there is yesterday, and there is the day before. The word shulshayim obviously is related to the word shalosh. So does it mean 3 days ago, which means today is the fourth day? What does tamol mean? It's not so simple to find. You have to get to put your claws into this expression. V'huad bivolov, and the animal was v'huad bivolov. It became a muad under the authority of the master, v'lo yishmerenu, and here it says that the master is guilty, did not properly guard it, v'heimis isho yisho hasho yisokel, v'gam be'olav yumas. And that notice here, it does not say sokol yisokel. It does not use the double expression in this passage. Over here it only used the single expression, hasho yisokel, v'gam, and also, what's the meaning v'gam? Also, be'olav yumas. The animal is put to death, and the owner is also put to death. Okay. Now, what is it? So let's see over here what it says over here in the Atar. That over here says, the Im Tor Nagahu Mi'it Malei from Mi'itmalei, Umi Kadmohi. That's quite a sophisticated translation of the word Mitmol Shulshan. Mi'itmalei, Umidikamohi. Okay, it would seem at face value that the Targum is translating that very different than the we customarily translate these two words. If you look over here in the English, if, however, the ox has been in the habit of goring, hoo-hoo, where in the world did the English get this translation? In the habit of goring? That's not what it says in the pasuk. Rimshor nagahu mitmol shilshayim. This is quite a commentary. This is an explosive commentary. What is he saying over here in English? All it says, the word tamol. Tamol usually means yesterday. Shilshayim, I don't know what that word means. Shalosh. There's yesterday. There's today. There's yesterday. So I'm assuming shilshayim means the day before. 3 days. Today is day one. Yesterday is day two. And shilshayim is day three. That would then mean that the word shilshayim is modifying the word tamol. Tamol is yesterday. Shilshoy means go back another day, the day before yesterday. That's not what it says in the Targum. The Targum says, Nagahu mi'itmalei umikadmohi, from before that. How did the word shilshoy...
Right, but how, before yesterday.
I guess so, but how did the word shilshoy turn into that? All right, let's see a little more. V'yitasheid bimore, you warned the master. V'lon natre, and he did not guard it. V'yiktol gavra, and it killed a man. Oy itasa, or a woman. Toira yisrigame, the axe shall be stoned. V'af more yisketel, the master should be killed. Yisketel. All right, let's see the Rashi a little bit. Rashi. Okay, Rabbi Rashi. Rashi says mitmol shilshayim. Oh, so Rashi over here seemingly totally disagrees with the Targum, and he comes pretty close to what it says in the English. Hare shalosh negichos. Okay, three negichos. Obviously, the Mechilta is taking the word shilshayim and is focusing on the word shalosh. Negichos. So what does it mean that mitmol yesterday, shilshayim? Now, I don't know what Rashi really means. I'll give you two choices. Either the word means, tamol means yesterday, and shilshayim means the day before yesterday. And the reason why we're calling the day before yesterday with the word shalosh is because it's the third day, going backwards. Today is day one. Yesterday is day two. The day before yesterday is day three. So that's why it means the day before yesterday. Now when Rashi says Hare Shalosh Negichos, it means the animal gored the day before yesterday, the animal gored yesterday, and the animal gored today. So 1, 2, 3 equals 3. Is that what it means? That's choice A. Choice B, maybe Rashi means say is mitmol. This event has happened before. All the word tamol means this event happened before. How many times did this happen before? Shil shoyim. Three times. It happened, let's say, a year ago. It happened 6 months ago. And it happened a week ago. Now, you know what that would mean? That would mean that when it's happening today, it's the fourth time. And indeed, there's a machlekes in the Gemara. How many times do you need it to happen for a shor to become a muad? It's a machlekes in the Gemara. Do you need it to happen 3 times? Or do you need it to happen 2 times? If you need it to happen 3 times, then the halacha of the pasuk would not apply unless today is the 4th time. It established itself as being a muad 3 times. And now, on the 4th time, it's going to be killed. The 4th time, the owner will be punished. Or the Gemara says, no. An animal becomes a mu'id 2 times. And now the owner becomes responsible on the 3rd time. Now today, if now that maybe is the machloikis between Rashi and the Unkelus. Rashi over here is Harei Sholosh. I mean, I'm not so sure exactly. When Rashi says Sholosh Negichos, that means today is the third. Is that what it means? It says Mitamol Shulshon. Well, maybe what Rashi means is Mitamol means this happened already before. How many times it happened before? Shulshon, three times.
Rabbi, there's a Rashi that my footnote refers to a pasuk lamed vav where it says Oy noida kishor nagachu mitmol shulshon, the same lashon. There Rashi is very explicit. It says in that Rashi Oy noida Oy loy hayatam ela noida kishor nagachu hayoim umitmol umishulshon. So there Rashi is very specific. Today, yesterday, and the day before, Hare Gimel Nekichos. That's all. And Rashi's quoting the Mechota there, the same Mechota. So, if Rashi's consistent,
a Chazaka is only established with two times. A Chazaka will then be established with two times, and now is the third time.
Yeah, today is the third time.
Right, that's what it would say. That's okay.
Rashi's very sure with that.
Okay, could very well be. It could very well be. Okay, excellent. So let's finish it very quickly over here. Okay, I really just find the rationale very quickly. So therefore, okay, who are means was warned. Biting, pushing. Beita kicking, minayat hamalomar vehemis, any type of killing. The gamble of yumas bidei shemayim. The owner doesn't actually die; he's only punished bidei shemayim. Yachal bidei adam hamalomar most yumas hamake reitzeachu al reitzicha seyata hargo viyata hargo al reitzicha shayor. So therefore, it doesn't mean literally that he dies in this world. It means that he's going to die in shemayim. Misa bidei shemayim. Okay, does not that okay? That's okay. We're out of time. All right, everybody, tomorrow night, I do not know if there's going to be a shiur tomorrow night. Okay, I'll send a WhatsApp, because Rabbi Mayevsky has to go away tomorrow. He's not going to be available tomorrow. He may not be available tomorrow night. And I also may not. I do not know yet. I'll probably have a wedding in Lakewood. I do not yet know if I'm going. We shall see. So if I'm not going to be here, he's not going to be here, we have to see who's going to give the shiur. And maybe we'll find some, maybe we won't. Any volunteers? Mr. Rapport, would you like to see the shiur tomorrow?
No, I'm not. I'm not up to it, really.
Okay, no problem. Okay, so we'll see tomorrow. Okay, we'll see tomorrow what will be. There may not be a shiur tomorrow. I'll send out a message. Okay, guys, have a wonderful evening. Thank you for coming. All the best,
thank
everyone.
You. Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Mayor, you there?